This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Got a lot of texts here talking about how U.S. ports are at the bottom of the list for automation. That's true. You can guess why. People are starting to connect the dots. I dropped out of my company's union several years ago because I was tired of them taking $25 every 2 weeks and hardly receiving any benefits or raises in return. They are the epitome of greed. Let's go to James. James, you're up. Welcome to the show.
Where do we start, Newell? You've asked a lot.
I don't know,
James.
let me
with one of the assumptions I think you made. You made the assumption that we need to look into the unions in depth. That tells me your point of view.
I said we need to look into the staffing model of the ILA in depth to gain a better understanding of what it is that they're talking about and why there should be a desire to pay more money and give basically a 12.5% every year increase for the next 6 years.
Perfect. Why not look at both sides? Why are we just looking at the union side?
Well, because the union is engaged in a collective bargaining agreement, and now they are on strike. And now, because of the labor laws in this country, the operators have no choices but to come to the table. They put a 50% increase on the table, and the union hasn't moved at all.
Well, I think you're missing my question, but I'll leave that one alone. My point is, bargaining goes both ways. The other side of this is...
Yeah, but you're advocating for a socialistic model that employees...
I didn't say what I was advocating for. I didn't say what I was advocating for.
You were implying that because of the profits that are made, that we should look at these companies.
I'm trying to get to a point, and you're putting words in my mouth.
Okay, all right, sorry.
Don't do
it. Go ahead, James. Go ahead.
I'm going to say what I'm trying to say. Unions are not perfect. I've been a member of a union for 20-some-odd years, and I got screwed, but I still believe in collective bargaining. That people are people. And anytime you have people involved, you're going to have some things wrong, period. But what's going on today is my complaint is the way people are looking at this. A guy named Milton Friedman said unions do not cause inflation. There's some causes of inflation and some other things. People looking at unions with a bad eye. But here's my basic point. This bargaining goes both ways. And the assumption is that automation is going to happen. Negotiate it. You do like most conservatives say, let the market fall where the market falls. If these people are more valuable today than they're going to be in 5 or 6 or 10 years, they ought to be able to ask for some transition period, training period, or some type of transition to different jobs. But to vilify them because they want to take care of their families, I think is wrong. That's my point.
So what is their value, right? I mean, when we went to containerizations, obviously, we're not touching product as much as we used to, right? In the break bulk area, they're still touching product. The risk for them has been minimized as a result of automation. And basically what they are fighting is that there is a desire to be competitive because we're competing in international markets. And you go to other ports and they're able to take a container off a ship and bring it right to rail and stick it on rail and not ever have it touch the dock.
Okay. Can I make a comment?
And because what that does is every time it touches the dock or there's a touch point or what I refer to as a WIP, a work in process, there are risks. And the more risk and hurdles that you can remove in any organization, in just a second, it's my turn now.
Oh, okay.
It is my show.
I didn't know if I said that. I'm sorry.
You minimize risk and you decrease costs. And it's hard, really hard in my view, to criticize a company for having a desire to do so, especially when in all the other markets, they're doing it. And here, one of the negotiating items is that no more automation. What? Are you kidding me? So you want to keep us in the Stone Age and never automate, never improve, never get to cost containment measures when the entire world is on a just-in-time system. It's called JIT. The Japanese developed it many, many decades ago. In fact, one of my papers that I wrote in college was on the JIT system because it was just so intriguing to me how the Japanese was so much better at inventory management than we ever were in the U.S. And it was all because of JIT, just in time. And so when you order something, right, because people aren't really stocking anymore because there's a heavy cost to do so. They rely on a supply chain model that can be as efficient as possible. My rub is that we will allow 50,000 workers to stand in the middle of that and basically compel no progress into the foreseeable future. I don't think that's smart, not by any stretch of the imagination. And I think it thwarts progress and economic improvement for this country in a huge way, and we should not allow it. The same way that we wouldn't allow police and fire to go together and just go on a massive nationwide strike because of the utility of what it means to the safety and security of this country, we don't allow it. We shouldn't allow these people to do this either. And the president should step in. And that's why I call him spineless, because he knows that if this goes 30 or 60 days, we are in trouble. We are in big trouble.
Oh,
go ahead.
Goodness.
Go ahead.
There's a lot of assumptions here that are wrong. First of all,
really? Really?
Anybody listening.
I've read everything that economists have been saying, that economists on both sides of the aisle have been saying for the last 3 days, and they all agree on that. If it goes 60 days, we're in trouble.
And that's part of growing. Let me say this and see if I can make this short. I'm going to try. Democracy is messy. So is communism.
Yeah,
so is capital. Hold on. I'll let you speak. Please let me. So is
I just
capitalism.
Agreed. I said, yes, it is.
And some part of making this work hurts. You can't have growth without some pain sometimes. Now, I made an assumption, and I hope I wasn't wrong. Automation's coming. That I believe. Automation ain't always great. So I'm going to challenge all you listeners to go up to somewhere that's totally automated, where at a store somewhere, and ask the clerk to make change because you made a mistake, even if it's only 64 cents. Generally, because of automation, these people haven't practiced math, and they probably don't know how to fix it. And because of automation, they are not allowed to change anything on that cash register. So everything about automation ain't great. But I anticipate this is going to be, for the short term, better for the consumer. I agree with you on that. Here's where I disagree, is that because of the timing, these people are taking advantage of the timing because they know their jobs are going to be obsolete. They're looking for a transition, and I don't begrudge them that, period, because
they're not looking for a transition. That's
what I believe.
That, James, I'm going to stop you there because that's a bald-faced lie. That
okay,
they're not looking for a transition. They're looking for a disruption by saying no automation, and that all of our workers, as they stand today, would be grandfathered in, and that's going to be part of every contract moving forward in the future. It is a ridiculous ridiculous negotiating point. And the companies, I hope they don't negotiate that in, because that will be disastrous. And other ports around the world will just continue to grow and grow and grow. And the only thing about the U.S., thankfully, is that the size and the impact of the U.S. is so strong that in the short term, we'll overcome this, but we'll continue to be behind the rest of the world in the ease and the convenience of receiving goods and services that we order. And if everybody in this country is happy with that for the sake of 45 to 54,000 employees, then I'll be wrong. I just don't think they will. I think when they press the button to order something, they like that it shows up in a day or two. They're not going to like if it shows up in 2 months. Could be wrong, but I don't think so. We'll be back. Stay with us, folks.
This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And, you know, I guess I have to bring this up as well. The president just yesterday said that, you know, we need to get back to the negotiating table. And, you know, we were able to compel folks to get back together on the West Coast deal of the longshoremen. Now, what's interesting here is one would think that that's the perfect opportunity, right, for this president to step in and say, hey, guys, why don't we just mimic the West Coast deal? Because what they're asking for with the Gulf Coast, East Coast deal is greater than what was given in the West Coast deal. And if my memory serves me correct, I think I'm almost positive on this, automation was not part of that deal. Right? This is called stair-stepping in many respects, you know. They're going to get a deal. This East Coast, Gulf Coast deal will be greater than that deal. Then the West Coast is going to come back and want, you know, at least that deal and probably ask for more. And then we continue going back and forth. Does anybody believe that's a great strategy for you as the consumer? I don't. If I were the president, I'd have him sitting at the table with me sitting there and negotiating and trying to encourage folks to come to the terms and conditions of that other deal. At the very least. So my country wouldn't have to suffer. And that automation is never, ever, ever going to be off the table. We wouldn't be where we are today had we stymied or stifled automation 40 years ago. Think about that for a moment and how your life has changed and how things are so much easier in many respects today. Let's go to Chuck. Chuck, you're up. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Good morning, Noel. I rarely call the show, but I was compelled to call today. I would say this regarding the statement that you just made. I understand as it relates to production, we wouldn't necessarily be in a certain place, but without automation. But however, I would say this, the manufacturing jobs and the people being able to go to work would be different. I would say that. I watched a trash collection where you got a driver and just the automated arms that come out and pick up the trash cans. And I thought, you know, because there are levels and tiers to even human beings, right? You have people who come out of incarceration or people at different levels, variations of levels of life in terms of where you are. And my point is like, so where do those people work? So if automation at some point comes where everything is fully automated, I'm simply saying and now you use the word socialism, or actually, is he a socialist? Socialism is a thing. It's not necessarily a dirty word. You know, capitalism is something that just in its nature can, I don't say it does, but it can breed greed. And unfortunately, the human nature wants to simply take more than it ever gives. And so that selfishness comes to a place to where there's no give and take. There's no balance across the board to make sure that everyone will have enough. The greed, the profits, they every year, it's about just pushing profits more than the last year and not saying, well, we're really good. Let's look at how we're taking care of everyone else. That's how you balance a society.
Chuck, but let me ask you a question. You have a 401k?
No, I don't. I'm self-employed.
Do you invest in anything for your retirement?
Yes. I try
and,
to.
And
now,
when you look at your statement every month, you want the most profit that you can possibly have, the most interest on your investment to be as great as possible, right?
Look, I mean, but you're speaking that in certain ways in a vacuum because I'm also someone.
No, Chuck, it's an ideology. The question, Chuck, is at how much are you willing to give up? I mean, if you could get a 17% return on your money, but they told you, Chuck, for the greater good, you should only take 9. You're going to take 9?
If it's the greater good, and who would tell me?
No, Chuck, it's simple. It's a yes or no answer.
It's not a yes or no.
Certainly it is. In this scenario that I'm giving you, mm-hmm. this example that I'm giving you, will you take 9?
Life is not just black and white. It's not just yes and no all the time. And that's no, because that's what people want to hear, or that's what people figure it is. And that's unfortunately how we got here. So when Jesus
demonize everybody out there that's in corporate America, small business and everything else, because they want to make the greatest amount of profit that they can make. And yet, when we look at our own personal finances, every time I ask somebody, if they give you a number, theoretically, that this is the number you should get, and anything over and above that for you, you should give back to society at large. I have yet to have someone say they're willing to take 9 as opposed to 17. Unless they're motivated by what? A tax deduction. So you're getting something in return. Again, one of those other nasty capitalistic characteristics. We are hypocrites, every single last one of us, myself included. When it comes and looking out for our best interest, we want the most that we can get and we can grab. Plain and simple. And I've not seen a lot of people that approach life any differently. Nor should they, because they're trying to leave a better life for their kids, their family, or whatever motivates them. We'll be right back.
This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.